But have you got, if I say the word truckie to you, have you got a view? Do you go to a kind of a stereotype about very long hours, dealing with them on the roads, perhaps using drugs to keep them awake? And my next guest is really wanting to dispel some of the images of the truckie, and particularly one as an irresponsible cowboy. Dr. Jam Karp is a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England and spent 2 years travelling with interstate truck drivers and recorded her conversation with them. And Dr. Jan Karp joins me this morning. Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Good
morning. Absolute, Alex.
Oh, great. Yep. Now, tell me why you wanted to do this in the first place.
Look, it was basically an investigation to dispel the cowboy image. But more than that, I had friends who kept telling me that they were going bankrupt or that they were going broke and that the industry was in trouble. And so I had those two sort of ideas. You know, people don't like these people when they're not part of the industry and they're in trouble. So let's have a look at really what's going on.
And why don't people like them?
Well, I suppose vehicles, you know, main experience is of the truck driver in the left-hand lane and on highways and the physical size.
We feel
size,
a bit threatening.
Yeah, physical size. These trucks weigh enormous amounts, so one man driving them.
So that, you know, you just have to encounter them if you go on the Hume Highway. And is there a kind of an image that they are, you know, they're pushing themselves to the limits, they're taking drugs to keep awake, that sort of thing?
Look, I was thinking about how people describe the roads, like when you mention Hume Highway and people say, you know, the S3 is notorious, you know, the Hume Highway is dreadful. And in fact, it isn't the roads that are notorious, it is in fact drivers on them. And it's that participation of truck drivers and car drivers and being on the road, I've seen all sorts of things occur, one of which does not help a truck driver are cars pulling in front of heavily laden trucks. I mean, it doesn't work. A problem with the F3, of course, is that there's huge coverage whenever there's an accident and people are delayed, but very rarely do we actually go to what's happened to that driver and what has caused that problem. And I experienced that recently, if you want to hear about it.
I would, yeah, I would. Tell me more about it.
Well, I was actually in a vehicle going along the S3 and the traffic was banking up and people turn on their radios and you hear about, you know, this dreadful truck accident. And as I approached, I was on my own, I just pulled over and went to see if he needed a hand. It only just happened. And what I encountered was a man in deep shock. And he had been in the left-hand lane in a fully laden truck, heavy, and had crossed three lanes because of brake failure.
Okay.
Now, what you have is the police arriving whose desperate aim is to basically get the flow of traffic moving because that's the message he's getting on his radio. The truck driver has only just managed to, in fact, not involve any injury to anyone and has experienced one line of his brakes going and has steered that truck very well, but none of that's really reported.
So he's a bit of a hero, really.
I thought so. And definitely was finding it incapable to get directions from his boss, having difficulty thinking about getting a tow truck, but had in fact managed to steer this truck very well.
Because you can only imagine what it feels like to be in charge of a huge vehicle like that when the systems are failing.
Well, I walked around with him and we had a really good look at the truck and I actually showed him and he showed me this hole in the brake line, which was minor and only in one brake line. And I said, this is it. You know, this is not your fault. This is a hole in a brake line that you could have done nothing about and you've done very well.
Why are they going broke?
Wages versus costs. Wages are low. Even owner-drivers are having a real battle at the moment. I mean, they can negotiate wages. You were talking about the federal government at the moment. On the 1st of July, there's a tribunal going to be established as a result of the new safe rates legislation, and that's going to help sort out some safe pay, decent pay for drivers.
Because what, they're having to push hours, basically, to make ends meet?
Petrol costs, diesel in this case, diesel costs, wages, and I don't know if you know, but a prime mover at the moment is worth about $350,000. So if you want to buy just the front end of that business, which is the front end that you see, it's about $350,000, and then you're going to buy the trailer, and then you're going to get work.
Okay, so we're looking about, you're not getting much change out of $500,000.
Well, you're getting a house.
That's
so it's like a house or a truck or a living and your family.
I suppose the Dr. Jan Carper's with me, a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England, the argument about we should find better ways of transporting the goods that essentially, you know, the job that the truckies do.
Well, look, I have had a look at how the government's funding rail versus road, which is the debate. You know, people will quite quickly say we need to use rail, but you need to look at the products. You know, are you carting frozen meat? Are you carting vegetables? Are you carting things that can deteriorate, let alone the infrastructure around what happens when it arrives at a terminal? How are you going to move it to its destination? So I think, you know, we are facing both infrastructures and both need to be funded well.
And at the moment, we've got the system or the setup that we've got, and the truckies are dealing with that. Tell me about the sorts, as you say, you want to dispel the image of the truckie as an irresponsible cowboy. Tell us about the kinds of things that you heard and saw that you think we should know about.
I think anyone in any work industry can identify an aberrant individual who is not conforming to the way they're supposed to behave. In this case, we're talking not only about deviant behaviour but illegal behaviour, which means use of amphetamine that causes erratic driving, in this case can cause psychosis, and in fact can cause, you know, just this what's called a crash, which is not literally a crash, but where you're coming off amphetamine and suddenly the world no longer exists for you. This type of behaviour is visible on the road. Other truck drivers do not approve, do not like them, or distance themselves, and of course know that that person is causing them a great deal of difficulty in the media.
But it does happen.
Absolutely, we can see it. You know, everyone sees it. But it also reminds me of other places I've worked where people are not playing by the rules.
Mm. But how do you get people to play by the rules?
Individual responsibility, policing, and I think specifically amphetamine use in the trucking industry needs to be addressed by some really good rehabilitation and education programs. But we are dealing with a mobile population, and that means mobile sort of resources.
Mm. What else would you like people to think about? Got the car?
I think if you can think of a truck driver who has been trying very hard to get his product to where it's supposed to be, and so, you know, receive that pat on the back by getting a good pay in time so that he can pay his outgoings in time, it's quite stressful, and that these men have quite serious health issues as a result of that type of stress, as well, of course, family problems.
It must be one of the more unhealthy lifestyles, is it? Workplaces, sitting in a truck. Being able to get in exercise and healthy food must be really tough.
I don't think eating is a particular priority for them. I certainly didn't see them eating regularly. I mean, I just think regular eating would be useful. And if you notice when they get out, they sort of have that, you know, slightly bent at the hip look. But what actually happens is these men's bodies become used to the work, and you will find them, you know, strong, you know, strong shoulders, strong hands, tying loads, getting in and out of a truck, mentally very equipped to do the mathematics that are involved in working out weights and speed and time. They have a lot of responsibility. They've outlaid this money. They need to make it back. And also, of course, if the truck fails in some way, they need to be a mechanic.
Dr. Jan Carper is with me, a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England, and has spent 2 years travelling with interstate truck drivers. George has called Jan and left her a message saying he drives a water tanker, which is a 16-ton when loaded, and a car cut in front of him at some lights on the Tuggeranong Parkway locally, and the police were there, but they took no notice. He said water moves, so it was a really dangerous situation, and that's what can sometimes cause accidents.
Look, I don't think people have any appreciation. You know, truck drivers are seen as some sort of possibly, I mean, not at all, but, you know, like a truck driver, uneducated. What you actually have is someone who's got their hands on the steering wheel for, say, 12 hours while they drive to their destination, having to control what in the rear is a moving, either with weight or without weight, large object. And as we know, trucks heavy with any sort of speed, if they cause an accident, a death can occur. There is no driver who has not done this over a long period of time or even a short period of time that does not understand the risks. So if you think you can do 80, 90 or 100 kilometres an hour and just slip in front of a truck, then you are responsible for causing an accident.
Do you have recommendations to policymakers?
I do, actually. I think the coroner's office would be worth contacting. I think coroners deal with these issues. You often will see a death and we'll have the police there, we'll have the media have their point of view. But I think further down the track, the coroner's reports, who must actually record speed, cause and other factors affecting the deaths of people involved in heavy vehicles, need to be part of the discussions around how we go forward.
And what about regulation?
Oh, we're over-regulated. We have logbooks, point-to-point cameras and GPS, and, you know, you can regulate all you like. I mean, in fact, many organisations are regulating at a very high rate. But, you know, you cannot have someone drive from Sydney to Perth and not make a mistake. Mm. And in this case, they can actually make a mistake that is minor and receive traffic infringement notice or being written up. And that is sort of this petty micromanagement that I think is actually aggravating, not helping the situation.
You've come away with one of your conclusions. Truckies are hard-working representatives of a highly skilled occupation.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jan Karp, thank you so much. Interesting to talk to you.
I appreciate the time to talk about it. Thank you.
Farewell. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jan Karp is a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England.